Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Obi Young, president of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and director for the studios from Orlando, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, everyone. This is Obi Young, your host today with Managing Safety, and we're in Orlando, Florida. We're at a midpoint, I guess, from the studio over in Lakeland, and we're our guests from today, and it's Jim Alsop. And Jim, you're from where?
Indiantown, Florida.
Indiantown, Florida. And I kept calling that DeLand, and it's not DeLand, it's what?
It's Dillon Aviation. That's the name of my company, Dillon Aviation, and we're an aerobatic flight school.
Okay, Dillon Aviation is located in Indiantown, Florida. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And where is Indiantown exactly in Florida?
It's between Stuart, Florida and Lake Okeechobee.
Okay, I think most people can look at a map and see Lake Okeechobee.
Just north of Palm Beach.
Okay. And we've been working with Jim for the last couple of years over at our annual seminar that Tom Evans puts on with stall, spin, and safety matters. Years ago, we used to do spin seminars, and we would actually go out in airplanes and spin the airplane, stall the airplane to get rid of the inhibitions that a lot of young pilots and a lot of older pilots had about some of the misnomers about stall span awareness. And then we started talking about other safety matters, and that's when we came into upset training. And I think that's one of the things that you specialize down in South Florida there at Dillon Aviation. I'll get that right after a while.
Thank you.
Okay. But I think we've got some exciting news, some things that's coming up with you, and we'll talk about them in just a minute. Who is Jim Alsop? Where did you come from? How long have you been flying?
Actually, I learned to fly in Indiantown about 20 years ago, and it's a grass strip. At the time, no hangars, so it was very conducive to aerobatic training.
Uh-huh.
Pompano Air Center was probably the most productive aerobatic flight school in the United States at the time. Clint McHenry was running the operation.
Sure.
Pratt Whitney was very close, and there was hundreds of ex-military pilots, and many of them took up sport aerobatics.
Sure.
So they all came to Indiantown to practice, and I was sitting there with my little Luscombe saying, "Ain't that cool what they do?" So I bought a Pitts, and from there, I've been with aerobatics ever since. Never left Indiantown.
So are you still flying a Pitts today?
No, I switched to a Super Decathlon. It's uh-huh. a much better training airplane, I believe, and serves my business purpose much, much more directly than a Pitts would.
You can hear a little bit better in that one, right?
You can hear better. It's not as intimidating.
Sure.
And it's great for tailwheel training, which the Pitts obviously is. It should not be your primary trainer.
Right. Okay, so you're flying in a decathlon or a super decathlon?
Super decathlon.
Oh, it's a 180 horsepower.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness. I'd flown into 150, 160, but not the super. But had a good friend who flew air shows in there. And so currently then today, people come to you and they want to learn aerobatics. Is that all or what?
That's about probably 30-40% of my business. I do a lot of tailwheel endorsements and a lot of what I call emergency maneuvers training. That's my more popular course now.
And we got the term of upset training a couple of years from there, mm-hmm. the emergency procedures things. And I think it's where the stall spin and safety matters mm-hmm. came. And while we asked you to come speak with us, which if you haven't heard him before, by all means, you need to catch Jim next time he's at a seminar. Okay, Jim, let's talk just a minute about something that you've got coming up pretty soon now. I think you've got a book or something coming up shortly, don't you?
Yes. My book is titled Flying the Tailwheel Airplane.
What all do you discuss in your book? Not the 25 words or less, but you know, don't tell us the whole thing. But
well, the theme, I think, is unique. First of all, it expresses my style of instruction, which is a focus on sight picture.
What do you mean by sight picture?
Well, part of what we do in the book is it's full of photographs from the cockpit.
Oh, great.
From the pilot's perspective. So In the first part of the book, of course, we describe what the sight picture is and then how to use it. And what that does, I find out in my practical instruction and day-to-day work that we do, teaching aerobatics, unusual attitudes, and tailwheel, I find that all of my customers, by definition, are pilots. Many of them much more accomplished than I am. But they're there to learn specific new skills, landing a tailwheel or flying aerobatics. And I find that they have difficulty performing the basic skills, what I would call basic piloting skills. And I've learned that that's because they, somewhere along the line, lost their understanding of the sight picture. They don't know where to look. They're not sure what to see. And they don't really know what to do about it.
I guess you were speaking a moment ago about, as an instrument pilot, you focus on the instrument gauges, like when you're shooting approach, and they do a very good job. But then when they transition to the tailwheel or conventional gear or tailwheel aircraft, and they're looking outside, it's different.
Yes, I found it incredible. It was like turning on the light switch when I realized this. Flying ILS in the clouds with them, and they are right on the glide path. Put them on a bright sunny day in my decathlon, looking out the window, and they lose it. I try to emphasize why use the artificial horizon when you've got the real thing. The real horizon is out there, and what I try to teach is for pilots to use the real horizon precisely the way they would use the attitude indicator or the artificial horizon.
I guess that also helps with collision avoidance also, looking outside the airplane instead of the gauges.
Absolutely. Right. Hey, as a side note, let me tell you something that I think is, it's not really humorous, but I take it lightheartedly. Mm-hmm. Too many of us focus on the runway when we're landing. Right. I mean, at all parts of the landing pattern, I have people that stare at the runway, or maybe look at it 30, 40 times. I actually count the number of times they turn their heads.
Wow.
And my point is, if you're staring at a runway that's not going anyplace, by
right.
the way, how can you watch the sight picture? And there is the heart of the matter. When you're distracted by these other things, you're not looking at the sight picture, and you're not seeing other traffic.
Right. Now, the sight picture you're talking about is naturally the horizon.
The horizon, and specifically a point on the horizon. Because there's just like using your attitude indicator, you've got pitch. That's, we recognize that by the position of the horizon. You got your heading. You must have a point on the horizon. Okay. Otherwise, you don't have anything to aim for. And then, of course, you have bank.
Oh, right. And in your book, there's a lot of these pictures that show these things rather than just talking about them. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. And I find that's what really, really makes the difference in the course of
like
teaching
these
skills.
Like a picture's worth a thousand words.
That's, I say that in the book.
And I guess your video relates to that same visual image then.
Absolutely.
Okay. So they do tie together, and they'll both be out around the first of the year. That's great. Now, let's talk about a couple other things. I think you're a master flight instructor with aerobatics, is that correct?
Yes, that's what they call Master CFI-Aerobatics.
Okay, and what do you do to become a Master CFI?
Well, the Master CFI program has been with us for quite a while, and that was initiated by the Hills, and they
right.
still run that program. But it's a way for professional flight instructors to, in modern lingo, to give back. It's for flight instructors who participate in education, and of course you have to have real flight instruction time, writing books, making videos, working with the FAST team.
And now the aerobatic portion, there's not very many masters flight instructors with an aerobatic, is that correct?
That is true. I think there's less than three dozen. I think I was number 24.
Wow, so you're one
in
the
country.
Early birds.
Yeah,
right.
There's not too many.
Well, that is an important thing, and thanks to Sandy and Joanne and all the people with the Masters for doing that, and thank you and the other peoples for looking at that specialty group. Now, does this mean that when somebody comes to you, they can learn to fly a tail dragger, they can learn upset training, and they can go right into competitive aerobatics, is that right?
Well, actually, they can.
Oh, okay.
That's a misunderstanding about aerobatics. You don't have to be a phenomenal superhuman stick and rudder guy to be successful at aerobatics. It's mostly wanting to have fun. And I'm sure, as you know, OB, there's only 5 skills necessary to fly aerobatics. And actually, there's only 3. We have turns, loops, and lines. Now, on any of those 3 basics, you have 2 other skills that you can add, and we call them rotational elements, roll. So if you put a roll on a straight and level line, that's a roll. You can also put a spin on a line. So those are really, those 5 things are the fundamentals, and you do those 5 skills as standalone figures, and you know what? You just did the primary sequence at the competitive level.
Now, you flew competitive aerobatics for how long?
About 10 years.
And you did that where?
Primarily at Sebring. We have 2 contests a year at Sebring, Florida, and it's one of the best contests in the country. So I felt very satisfied just going, limiting my travel to Sebring.
And for those of you who are listening who don't actually know, the competitive aerobatics we're talking about is really like the Olympics. Instead of swimming or ice skating, it's for flying airplanes. And this is a preliminary starting point right here in Florida. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
And so those of you who have not seen this before, by all means, do try to make it down to Sebring or any other place and enjoy this. Now, if speaking of people who are on vacation or come in anywhere in from the country and they want to see you, they can actually call or check your website and make an appointment with you to do a little flying. Is that right?
Absolutely.
And what period of time do they need? Is it like just 1 day or 2 days or a week or what?
You know, I like most of my courses of instruction are 5 lessons.
5 lessons.
Okay. And they typically can do 2 lessons a day. So my typical customer will be here for 3 days, and we'll fly... 2 days, or we'll do 2 lessons for 2 days, and then the 3rd day we'll just have fun and do the final lesson.
Okay. What would you say would be the main difference? And we talked about this just a little bit before we went on the air here, the difference between air show aerobatics and competitive aerobatics.
Well, speaking for myself,
okay.
Competitive aerobatics is about having fun and flying to your personal standard.
Right. Improving your own skills for the enjoyment of flying and air show aerobatics is more or less entertaining the public, but at the same time promoting the sport.
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot of people who fly competitive aerobatics who do air shows to promote the sport. And we can't say enough good about them. It's not thrill flying, it's show flying to promote the sport and to show the skills involved in it. That's when I was flying air shows, that was the gist of it, to increase your flying skills and ability. Now let me see what else we've got. Now we talked about your video, we talked about your book, we talked about coming into there, and we talked about this stall spin and upset training. And you said the key points, once again, we want to hit that. You've been sharing those for how long now at your website?
About 3 years. I'm slowly getting more technically qualified to do some of these productions. As you know, that's a challenge in and of itself. But I have... try to monthly feature a video on my blog. A central feature of my website is a monthly blog where I talk about key points of flying or maybe anecdotes or whatever I feel about talking about that might be of interest to other pilots. But each month I add a video that they can link to YouTube. And so the list of videos is starting to get fairly extensive and the subject matter quite broad. So I think there's something there for everybody.
And we're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about these key points on these videos that you've been doing for 2 or 3 years and the expanded full program, which is your video that you're coming up with. And that's what we're going to be talking about in the next segment. This is OB Young with Managing Safety, and we'll be right back.
Now, let's rejoin O.B. Young and Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios.
This is O.B. Young with Managing Safety. We're back with you with Jim Ossoff. Jim, it sounds like what you're doing is teaching safety of flight and upset training to the pilot who's not necessarily wants to be an aerobatic pilot, but wants to feel safe when he's flying his or her airplane. Is that right?
That's exactly right. That's my theme for all of my courses.
And the other thing you're doing is, of course, those who are flying conventional gear aircraft, transition them to stick and rudder airplanes.
Yes.
Okay.
And really what, you know, I want to always emphasize that point. When we say stick and rudder, we think tailwheel. Uh-huh. But good skills are good skills, whether you fly a Cessna with a tricycle gear or whether you fly a conventional gear Piper Cub. Stick and rudder skills are the same. And I am amazed at how much fun and how agile a Cessna 172 is when you actually use the rudder.
Right. All right. We'll talk about a couple of things here about on your video that you're going to be discussing. It says the three yawing forces, adverse yaw, P factor, and things of this nature. What else do you cover on your video?
On that video that deals with rudder fundamentals,
right,
we look at the yawing forces that you mentioned. And here's the point that I want to emphasize. Many of us as skilled pilots don't know what yaw looks like. It's amazing. I flew, just a quick example, I flew with a man who had a Pitts S2 mm-hmm. for almost 10 years. And he had a little trouble in a landing and had got a little nervous, lost his confidence, and came to me. And the first flight that we made together in my airplane, because I wanted to go back to the basics, I had him do a simple climbing turn to the left, and the adverse yaw was horrendous. We talked about it going in, because he did the same mistake again, and his comment to me was, "My gosh, your airplane needs a lot of forward stick when we turn the plane." He did not recognize adverse yaw.
Wow.
And I only mention that because I find that most of my customers, and that's why I focus on sight picture, we just don't recognize the yaw. And so we focus on yaw, not only adverse, but gyroscopic effect. Most pilots talk about the words, but they've never seen it in an airplane. Same thing with P factor. Most people know that you hold a little right rudder when you're climbing, but they don't know that when you're in a descent, there's adverse yaw, but it works in the opposite direction. So many of us have the habits of not recognizing the yaw, therefore we don't use the rudders.
One of the other things you talk about is maneuvers using cross-control ailerons and rudder. What kind of maneuvers are those?
Slips.
Oh, okay.
And again, if you're a tailwheel pilot or if you fly a Pitts or something similar, that's just in your nature is to
slip. I thought
slip.
You were talking about hammerheads.
Well, we do that too, but most of us don't fly the right kind of airplane.
Sure. I guess really, Jim, there's some things, like you say, you take for granted. And then when you get in there, it's a wake up call to what you've been doing all along, flying the regular production model airplanes. When you get in the Cathlon there and fly it, and you actually look outside a little bit and say, there's a whole new world out there.
It's incredible. You see the lights go off in these people when all of a sudden these things that they've taken for granted all their flying lives take on a new dimension.
And you know, that's one of the last things you talk about is the fun of flying aerobatics and the fun of flying where you're looking outside. Let's talk about that just a minute.
The fun of flying, I relate that to the most fun you can have in an airplane is flying aerobatics.
I notice you've got a segment in there with Becky. Is that who it is?
Becky is a customer from a few years back. Never been in an airplane in her life. And I had just happened to have the video cameras running that day.
Uh-huh.
And she's doing loops and rolls and smiling and laughing and giggling and having the time of her life. Didn't even know how to fly a plane, but she could fly aerobatics.
Wow.
Isn't that incredible? Now, I go on to mention in the video, the pulling on the stick to do a loop, most people understand that.
Uh-huh.
You move the stick sideways to do a roll, most people understand that, whether you're a pilot or not. But the difference was, is I was in the other seat with my feet on the rudder pedals controlling yaw, and she was up there having the time of her life.
Cool. Sounds like she had a lot of fun. It should be a neat video to watch then. We've been talking today with Jim Alsop from Indiantown, Florida, at Dillon Aviation, who is an aerobatic instructor, and he works with stall spin and recovery. And you've got a couple of items that's going to be available the first of the year. And what are those again?
Well, the first one is my handbook for flying the tailwheel airplane, and that'll be available at Amazon or, of course, through my website, www.dillonaviation.com. And on that website, you can link to a lot of my training videos, which were the inspiration for my other two training items, DVDs, which will also be available through Amazon and my website. And one of them is titled Stall, Upset, and Spin Recovery. And the other DVD is titled Rudder Fundamentals.
Okay, so you've got a book that's going to be coming out, and you've got the videos going to be coming out. In the meantime, while they're waiting for a couple of months here, they can go to your website and get some preliminary information related to what your book and your video is about. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
And I guess if they really wanted to fly an airplane, they could call you up, right?
That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful.
So if you're listening, wherever you are, and you are coming to Florida on vacation or business trip, and you come in, you could just give you a call, and you can probably find the address on the website and send you an email probably.
Absolutely. Emails work wonderful. And can I give another plug?
Sure.
GATVonline.com is a program about, it's produced weekly, mm-hmm. Locally at Fort Pierce. It's about general aviation.
Right.
And I wanted to plug my little segment that I do each week called Hangar Talk.
Oh, okay.
And we do all kinds of interesting little tips and conversations on Hangar Talk. And again, you can see some of those through my website.
And speaking of Hangar Talk and speaking of GATV, I believe they're one of the people who is also on Hangar Chat, which is a social networking that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And so that's another way you could hear about GM and see GM there through the Hangar Chat social network. GM, it's been nice talking with you today. Glad you've been.
Thank you, Obi. I appreciate being here.
And this is Obi Young with Managing Safety. We'll see y'all next time. Fly safe. Wishing you blue skies and tailwinds always.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.